From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, April 16th. I'm Jonathan All. The U.S. lost newspapers at a rate of about 2.5 per week last year. Rural regions in the Midwest and South are especially affected.
In rural areas, the problem is one of scale. Are there enough paying customers in a smaller rural community to be able to support journalism in that area?
But some newspapers are trying new business models and doubling down on local news. That story's coming up on The Gateway. The St. Louis Board of Aldermen ended their current legislative session by passing some long-awaited traffic ordinances. The board yesterday approved bringing back red light cameras and also created a traffic improvement fund. St. Louis Mayor Tishard Jones said at least 4 people have died and more than 100 have been injured in traffic crashes since the camera bills were first introduced last year. The new legislative session for the Board of Aldermen begins today. A St. Louis judge has awarded more than $23 million to former St. Louis Metropolitan Police Officer Luther Hall, who while undercover was beaten by police in 2017. St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports.
Judge Joseph White awarded Hall $10 million for punitive damages, $11 million for past and future physical and emotional pain, and almost $2 million for lost wages. Hall, who is black, was working undercover and was beaten by Randy Hayes and other white officers during a 2017 protest after ex-St. Louis police officer Jason Stockley was found not guilty of murder in the death of Anthony Lamar Smith in 2011. Hall filed a lawsuit against the officers. After Hayes did not respond, the judge issued a default judgment against Hayes. Hayes was sentenced to more than 4 years in prison for violating Hall's civil rights and other charges. Hall received a $5 million settlement from the city in 2021. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
A St. Louis attorney says she is facing retaliation for taking a photo of her paralyzed client lying on the floor covered in his own feces at a St. Louis City Justice Center holding cell. It's the latest of a growing number of issues at the jail. Sue McGraw is the director of the Criminal Defense Clinic at St. Louis University and the man's attorney. McGraw says she wanted people to see what's really going on at the jail.
I took the photo because I knew nobody would pay attention to yet another bad story coming out of the jail. And I knew that if I had a picture of it and people saw what it looked like, that it would affect them on a more emotional level.
The jail has a new policy banning electronic devices, including phones. In a statement, the Commissioner of Corrections said a policy was put in place April 1st to prohibit attorneys from using a paper pass to share documents with their clients, as well as contraband, including unauthorized electronic devices. McGraw was a guest on St. Louis on the Air. Members of the community near a facility that burns waste in Saugeay told the Environmental Protection Agency they have concerns about a new permit application. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports on last night's public meeting.
The Veolia Technical Solutions facility in Saugeay is applying to renew its Clean Air Act permit. The permit is required for facilities that emit air pollution above certain levels. Terrence Taylor used to live near the plant and says there were days when it smelled like metal was in the air.
Those toxic fumes would come down on me. They would wake me up from my sleep. It was horrible. You know, you can't even go outside and get a breath of fresh air.
Taylor hopes to put together a community committee to work with Veolia on improving the environment. The EPA will accept the public's comments on the permit until May 15th. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Several Illinois and Missouri lawmakers are part of a congressional caucus backing the so-called Momnibus Act. It's a package of 13 measures aimed at improving black maternal health. Death from pregnancy or pregnancy-related conditions is on the rise in Missouri and neighboring states, reflecting a national trend. Maternal mortality rates for black women are about 3 times higher than for white women. Representative Sharice Davids of Kansas calls the mortality rate a crisis.
You know, the United States is the only industrialized country where we have a maternal mortality rate that's increasing. And I mean, it's one of those areas where we just have to do better.
The Momnibus Act would fund programs to address social problems affecting black mothers and incentivize equitable health care funding. Over the last 2 decades, the number of newspapers in the U.S. has dropped by nearly a third. Today, more than 200 counties have no newspaper at all, making them news deserts. Rural areas have been especially impacted. But as Harvest Public Media's Jim Meadows reports, newspapers are experimenting with different strategies in an effort to keep local news alive.
Mount Vernon, Iowa has the quintessential Midwestern downtown, with a cafe, a bank, and a local newspaper. The office of the Mount Vernon Lisbon Sun faces First Street, the word newspaper written in fancy white letters on the front window. Inside the newspaper office, it's another busy day for editor Nathan Countryman.
Finishing up calendar, finishing up the special section. So I've got two stragglers I've got to track down, which is always fun.
The paper serves two small towns in eastern Iowa, surrounded by farmland. Last February, Countryman learned that his paper was being sold. In an unusual move, the University of Iowa student newspaper, The Daily Iowan, a private nonprofit company, bought The Sun and another rural weekly. The new owners are keeping the staff and providing some student reporters to help out, which is good news for Countryman.
It's a lot more breathing room in those regards. It's an ability to have a Monday where I can say, I just need somebody else to cover the city council meeting.
The Daily Iowan's experiment comes as many newspapers are shrinking, merging, or closing. The local news initiative at Northwestern University has data going back to 2005. Director Tim Franklin says the decline has hit hardest in rural areas in the South, Southeast, and Midwest.
You can almost draw a straight line from the Texas-Mexico border, from, say, Brownsville, Texas, up through the spot, what I call the spine of the country. And with some exceptions, almost all the counties are either news deserts or one news outlet counties.
Franklin says declining readership and ad revenue have hurt newspapers everywhere, but it's harder for papers to stay afloat where fewer people live.
In rural areas, the problem is one of scale. Are there enough paying customers in a smaller rural community to be able to support journalism in that area?
In Ford County, Illinois, population 13,500, the weekly Ford County Chronicle is run on a for-profit basis, although no one's getting rich.
It's hard, but every job's hard, right?
That's Will Brumley, the editor, reporter, and co-publisher of the Chronicle, a rare example today of a new newspaper replacing an old one. He and another former employee of a much older local paper started the Chronicle in 2020. Brumlevy says it's a financial risk, but they're devoted to the community.
There's not that many jobs that like make you feel better about the difference you can make in other people's lives and just try to keep people informed of things they need to know. You know, it's important.
Another publisher is trying to fill a news desert in rural West Texas. John Starkey runs a nonprofit media organization in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Last year, he bought the Ozona Stockman in Crockett County, 300 miles away. He plans to expand the paper to cover seven rural counties, some of which have no news outlets at all.
They have spotty internet, they have spotty radio reception, and they have restricted TV because of the geographic parameters of the area. So if they don't have a newspaper, they don't have news. It's that simple.
New business models for newspapers like the Stockman are key as ad revenues slide. That's according to Benji Hamm. He's director of the University of Kentucky's Institute for Rural Journalism and Community Issues. But he doesn't expect things to change overnight.
There will be more newspapers that go out of business. There will be more online sites that determine they can't make a profit. But I think there will continue to be things that emerge to replace that.
And journalists dedicated to local news. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Jim Meadows.
Zachary Oren Smith of Iowa Public Radio contributed to this story. Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including STLPR. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Jonathan All, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.